asking us to do. So I want to start. The title of the message this morning is Tolerance Rightly Understood. And I'm aware that we are in Bloemfontein, and there's no judgment if you are Afrikaans and some English words are difficult. There's no judgment. I said a few weeks ago, I told you that the word trajectory is probably the most difficult word in the English language for me. I struggle to say it every single time. And when I preach about it and I want to say trajectory, it really does feel like that every time. So there's no judgment. I've realized for some people in Bloemfontein, the word horog is a difficult word as well. So I'm just going to teach you quickly. The word is hot dog. Hot dog. Ni horog ni. It's hot dog. I've just heard it being said many times. And so when we speak about tolerance this morning, maybe that's a word you might not have heard before. It's not a word that we often use. But tolerance is basically the things that you allow or accept around you, even if you don't fully agree with it, you accept it. And on the flip side, intolerance is those things that we don't accept. We don't want it close. And this morning, we're going to look at the church in Thyatira, which is also a difficult word to say. It's the fourth church that Jesus speaks to in the book of Revelation. As we're going through the seven churches that Jesus had direct messages for, when he speaks to them, he actually helps them to understand what things they should allow and what things they shouldn't, what things they should tolerate in their Christianity, in their walk with God, and what they shouldn't. And I want to help you just understand tolerance a little bit more and give you a few examples. Because in the world, there are things that we tolerate and we don't tolerate. In South Africa, there are things that we tolerate and don't tolerate. In your family, there are things that you tolerate and don't. In church, the same. In this church, the same. We've got standards, and the question is, but where are God's standards? I thought of a few examples. In the world, if someone decides on an airplane, or let's just say this, if someone smokes close to you anywhere in the world, and you smell the smoke, sometimes we would think, I don't like the smell, but I will tolerate it if it's far enough, yes? But if that same person climbs onto an airplane and he decides, I feel like this is a good time to have a smoke on this plane, lights up a cigarette, has a nice smoke, what will we do? We don't tolerate it. Not anywhere in the world. We're like, dude, this is illegal. You are not allowed to do it. It is intolerable. We push it away. We don't accept it. That's all over the world. That guy could say, but it's my free right to smoke when I want to smoke. And you say, but it's my free right to punch you in the face, because you're not allowed to do it. In South Africa, you can have a braai anywhere. There can be a braai next to your house. The neighbors decide they want a braai outside and it makes a loud noise. We might tolerate it for a while, but if someone takes their braai and they put it next to a petrol pump, you're going to say that we don't tolerate. You with me? We don't accept it. That's tolerance and intolerance. In churches, someone might come and they might have sexual sin. They might even struggle with pedophilia, let's say. And we say, we love you, we accept you, we are to be a tolerant people, like we tolerate all people from different religions, walks of life, because we want to love you with the message of Jesus. But we're not going to let that person serve on kids' church. Are you with me? That we don't tolerate, that's just not wise, and so we draw lines in different places. In Joshin, those of you who were here last week, we tolerate sin in the church in as far as we are willing to walk with people for years to help break free of sin, because Jesus tolerates us to that extent. He keeps loving us. He keeps pulling us in when we struggle. And so we tolerate each other's weaknesses. Amen? You with me? We all weak, so we tolerate each other when we've got idiosyncrasies and bad things that we do and sin that we fall in. We have to tolerate each other and help each other. But we don't, and the example last week, we don't tolerate in the eldership team when there is hidden habitual sin, we bring it into the light. That's not something we tolerate because the Bible doesn't tolerate it. And so you get where I'm going. There are different lines that we draw of things that we allow and things that we don't allow. And when we dig into Thyatira, the church in Thyatira, Jesus actually comes and his biggest rebuke to them is, you don't draw the lines where I draw the lines. You tolerate things in the church, in Christianity, that I do not tolerate, and you might be intolerant of things where I actually am tolerant. And so the question for us, if you're a Christian, if your life is submitted to Jesus, your question should be, Lord, where do you draw the line? Because that is where I draw the line. You with me? So that is really our heart. So the question really is not whether you tolerate some things, it is what you tolerate. Because all of us do tolerate things that we might not, should not tolerate. And the question is not whether you are intolerant of some things, it is what are you intolerant about? And is it the things that Jesus is intolerant about, where he draws a line? And allow the Lord, as we go through Revelation 2 verse 18 to 29, I hope most of you can see as we slowly go through it, to help us and say, Lord, will you show us? Will you show us your ways? And so let's look at the first verses. This is the longest message to any of the churches in the book of Revelation 2 and 3. This is the longest address, and we've come to know now that Jesus normally starts with a commendation. He says to all of the churches, he says a good thing, and then he brings a correction. So commendation first, correction second. And so we know Jesus is going to commend them first. And he commends them the following way. And to the angel, the leader, the messenger of the church in Thyatira, write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. He sees everything. And his feet are like burnished bronze. They are stable. He's not going anywhere. He's built. He is fixed firmly, this Jesus that we serve. He says to them, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance. That is amazing that Jesus would say that. And this is the crux. And that your later works exceed the first. With some of the other churches, he's saying, man, you guys do good works, but this is the only church where he's saying, your good works are growing, they are increasing, you are becoming better at doing good works. So this is a massive commendation from Jesus, where he's saying, you guys are doing well and you keep doing better. That's like the ultimate thing that Jesus can say to you about your good works, is that you are growing in them. And as I thought about our church, I feel like that really is a commendation for us. In the last year that we've been here, I can honestly say that this church has grown in the good works that we do for the Lord, but for each other, for the community, for Bloemfontein. We've grown. I wrote a couple of things down. We've got a local alms account, and in the last month, we've helped two people who didn't have food. We were able to help them with food out of our alms account and buy them groceries. Out of the global alms account of the wider Josh chain, we sponsored, this is, I just wrote down a couple of things, 35 people for the equip that they could only pay half price. So we've put out 35 half price tickets, which I think is amazing. And we're growing because this was not the case a year ago. I think about with the weekly lifts, like you guys don't know, but there's a group in Josh Jane called Jaxi. It's Josh Jane's taxi service. And we set it up because there's always people who need lifts, and that group is active. It's growing, but it's active. People are trying to help each other with lifts to church. We had a men's morning Friday morning, which was incredible, by the way. There's one next week again if you missed it. We almost had 60 guys. Yeah, and there was an aircon on, so it was nice as well. But we almost had 60 guys, and a lot of that was also to do with people giving each other lifts and helping each other come here so that they could grow. That's growing in our good works. Hidden generosity, some of you would not know this, but there's a couple, and I'm not going to mention names, that gave us as a family and a couple of the other eldership, couples on the eldership team, an amount of money and said, we just want to bless you to go have supper and invest into your marriages. I think that's wonderful. That's not a hint, unless you want to take it as a hint. You know, I'm joking, it's not a hint. I think that's wonderful. The person didn't want to be named. Someone dropped off, this is us, and I know there's many more that I don't know of. Someone just came to drop off a loaf of bread at our house and say, I just wanted to give you a bread that I baked. I think that's wonderful. We are growing even in our generosity. Our finances in the church are growing, like people giving. So we are increasing there as well. This is a long list, so I'm going to try and go through it quickly. But we've adopted the grass in front because we want to serve the community as well on the islands. We want to look after the grass there. And someone just the other day brought their own lawnmower to church and came to mow the lawns in the church, trying to be anonymous. That's growing in these things. We're trying to organize outreaches. There are people putting up their hands saying, we want to go, we want to serve other nations. We've got people serving on coffee, on parking, on sound, on AV every single week, and the teams are growing. With the equip, a year ago when we got here, people stayed in guest houses. There was no hosting available. This last year, we've probably hosted about 200 people, 200 to 300 people in this congregation. Is that not massive growth? Like, I just want to say, well done, guys. Well done, church. We are growing in our generosity. We're growing in our service to each other, and it's only going upwards. And I say, praise Jesus for that. And we can say, thank you, God, that you are working in us to be people who give more. And that's where it started for this church as well. But in a similar vein, I think although we are doing well in an area, that doesn't mean that you can do two things can be true at the same time. You can do really well, and you can need help in another area. Amen? And I think it's the same for us as we read the rest of this letter, and I'm going to focus in more on this next part, because there was the commendation, and we don't always just want to focus on the correction, but we need to focus on the correction when it's from Jesus. But then there's a correction as well. From verse 20, Revelation 2, from verse 20. But I have this against you, that you... No, you, it's not there. Is it there? Okay. I have this against you, that you tolerate. There's that word. That you tolerate. The correction is going to be about their tolerance and where their lines of tolerance fall. And he says that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel. We're going to get back to her in a moment. Who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality. We've been speaking about that in church again. So this Jezebel is enticing the church to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, as does Jesus always. He always gives us time. But she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. There's those words again. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her will be thrown into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart and give to each of you according to your works. This really is Jesus coming in strong. This is not meek and mild Jesus, amen? Amen. This is like a different type of Jesus. Some of us don't know this Jesus. But this is the Jesus of the Bible. This is the resurrected Jesus. This is the one sitting in heaven, ruling and reigning. And if you don't have space for this Jesus in your mind, in your heart, in your theology, make space for him, because this is the one that's ruling at the moment. This is the one that's going to come to speak to you. Is he loving? 100%. He is love. But love doesn't look like the world promotes love. Love can also look like this. It's the one that says, I love you too much to leave you where you are. And so he comes to them and he wants to speak to them about them being too tolerant. They allow too much. And he speaks about this woman, Jezebel. Now the context for this, and they knew their Bibles much better than I think we do, is in the book of Kings, there was this woman, Jezebel. She was married to a heathen king, Ahab. And Jezebel basically went to the people of God and she got them to compromise. That's the crux of the story. She introduced something that theologians call syncretism. So she was a Baal worshiper and she was an Asherah worshiper. So she had these gods that she worshipped, but she was a queen at some stage and she was married to the king. So she was incredibly influential, and she saw that the Christians did not want to budge on following Baal and Asherah. And so what she did is she said, can't we just meet each other in the middle? Can't you be Christians, but just allow some of the things that we do in our worship to Baal, in our worship to Asherah, just allow it. And what that is called, it's syncretism. It is syncing your faith with Jesus with the culture of this world and what's acceptable of this world and saying, it's not that bad. She wanted this to come out of the mouths of the Christians. It's probably not that bad. I'm going to serve Jesus, but I'm just going to allow this little bit. I don't think Jesus would mind. Maybe you've heard this in our modern culture. Because God is a God of love. Yes? Have you heard this? Because God knows my heart. Oh, woe to us. He knows our hearts. That's a problem. Like those people who say, follow your heart. I'm like, well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I don't want to follow my heart. Well, it's going to take me places I shouldn't go. But she was the one that would come and say, no, man, God knows your heart. Like, you're just part of the culture. And what made this especially difficult for this church, the church in Thyatira, was that you needed to adopt some of the culture just to earn a living. So this town, to give you a little bit of context, they were not as wealthy as some of the other towns, but they were very skilled workers, and they would export their work to the Roman Empire at that time. And so they would have excellent woodworkers or stonemasons or bronze workers. They would have excellent ones. And in order to keep that skill alive and to form a community, they started something that people call guilds. Now, a guild, for those of you who've not heard about, it's like a society or fraternity or a group that you belong to where all of you have a similar interest or a similar job. And so in Thyatira, what would happen is normally your dad would have a job, and that your dad would pass that job on to you, and you would pass that job on to your children. So dad works, he's a stonemason, he makes bricks and he builds houses. He would teach you the trade, and you would teach your child the trade. And all of us would belong to a group that we call a guild, and that guild we'd maybe call the stonemason guild. All of us are stonemasons. We share our knowledge with each other. We share what we've learned. We support each other. When one of us loses a job or there's not enough income, we've saved up money and we look after you, almost like church is today for us. But we look after each other. And also when there's a party or a wedding, you invite the people from your guild, because mostly that's also your family, because it's been passed down in the family. And so the guild was really the smaller community in which you lived and just went about your business. The problem with guilds is over time, in these different towns, especially in Thyatira, when you had a party, every guild would have their own god that they would sacrifice to and make offerings to. And they would do that at these parties. You would come together. And now this is people that give you a job, right? And they support you when you don't have money. You come here, and what they would do is they would offer food to the idol. They would eat it together, have a feast together. And what many times ensued, as when alcohol flows, sometimes bad things follow. Amen? Is it just me that can say amen? Like, it does happen. I remember those times. Years ago, but I remember it. Like, bad things follow. And so what would inevitably happen is people would then sleep with each other. They would swap wives and go to different houses with the wives. And so sexual immorality would follow the food sacrificed to idols. Am I making sense? And so it was very difficult for you to be a Christian, because being a Christian, you would have to say what Jezebel said: it's not that bad. I'm just going to allow it. Or I'm going to be there. I won't partake, but I'm also not going to say that it's wrong because I might lose my job. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to live my faith. Here's this. Maybe this sounds familiar to you. I'm going to make my faith a private matter. It's going to be between me and God. It's just us. I'm not going to speak out, because it's very difficult to speak out. It will be consequences when I speak out. And so it was in this context that Jesus rebukes them, and he said, no, you've taken too much of what this woman Jezebel taught, because in this context, Jezebel is referring to a type of person who was in the church in Thyatira. So it's probably not her name. It was referring to the Jezebel in Kings, but that spirit, that same thing that she did, found its way into the church, a Jezebel spirit. And so he said, you are tolerating this woman who was probably influential in the church. She was a leader in the church. She carried a lot of authority. She infiltrated the church, and she allowed the church to come to a place of saying, it's not that bad. I'm going to allow some of the culture. I'm going to tolerate. I'm going to be a tolerant person, because God is a God of love, and I'll partake in some of it, or I'll just be there, and I won't partake, but I'll just be there. And Jesus is very clear. He actually says to the church, if you follow her way in life, if you do this, you are going to follow her way in death as well. And her way of death is the road to hell. Some of us might not believe in hell. Well, hell believes in you. You don't have to believe it for it to be true. Some of us might not believe that Jesus can cast us on a sick bed, because Jesus only heals. Now, I think primarily he heals. That's primarily his nature. But I see all over the Bible where Jesus will cast people onto a sick bed so that they will repent and realize. I'm not saying your sneeze attack that you had this morning was a demon. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm, and I don't know, when is the Lord there? When is it the devil? When is it just your body? I don't understand it. But what I do see is the Bible teaches me that Jesus will throw people onto a sick bed. Jesus will even cause death in people. Do you have room for that, Jesus? I mean, when we took communion this morning, you know there's a scripture that say those who partake of communion wrongfully, they eat and drink judgment onto themselves, and even sickness and death will come upon those people. That's a scary scripture, but that's the Jesus whom we serve. And he's saying this, Jezebel, I'm going to deal with her. I'm going to throw her onto a sickbed, and I'm even going to bring her to a place of dying. And in that same way, he says, if you do the same, if you compromise your faith, if you lower the standards of faith, if you start becoming too tolerant, then you are going to follow her lead. I'm going to deal with her first, but her followers will follow suit. So this is really scary. For us to know where to draw the lines, this is an important matter. For us to know what to tolerate and what not to tolerate, this is an important matter. And so the question, I want to answer two questions for us. What should we tolerate according to the Bible? And what should we not tolerate? And if I start with what we should tolerate, I can't make it more clear that we are to be a tolerant people. Like, we can't be those people that say, well, you know, the world is bad and we're not going to mix with the world because we are holy and we don't tolerate the world. No, we are to love the world. We are to reach out to the world. We are to welcome sinners into this church because Jesus would have done that. So we are to be very, very tolerant. And Jesus did this, Luke 15, verse 1 to 2. This was an accusation made against Jesus. Now, the tax collectors and sinners, they were the worst of the worst in Jesus' time, were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, those religious people, sometimes when religion enters our heart, bad religion, like when it's all rules and no relationship, then we become like this. They were grumbling, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. What a wonderful testimony. May that be said of me and may that be said of you. This man and this woman receives sinners and even eats with them because we tolerate them because we love them. And that's a way in which we show Jesus' love for them and when we preach the gospel to them. So there are certain things that we do tolerate. Let me give you three things that we do tolerate. Firstly, we should have space for legal tolerance. I'm going to explain this to you in a moment, but we should have space for legal tolerance. What does that mean? Some of you, this might be a difficult concept. Like, I do not want a Christian South Africa. I'm going to explain it. I don't want Christianity to be legislated, meaning that the government says you need to be a Christian and you need to act like a Christian, because all that does is makes you a whitewashed tomb. You change on the outside, but nothing changes on the inside. And I think that makes a country more difficult to reach because everyone thinks they're a Christian because they're a Christian outwardly, but they're not necessarily a Christian inwardly. And I think that's a scary thing. So we are not to, I think that's one of the early church problems with Constantine when he came and he legislated Christianity and said everyone needs to be a Christian. No, no, no. Christianity is when God takes hold of your heart and he changes you from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's true Christianity. And so legally, we are to say, listen, there should be room for Muslims to be Muslims, for Scientologists to be Scientologists. Let them be. We're not going to legally try and persuade them because we want to persuade them with the gospel. Here's the thing. We propose rather than impose. So we say there must be room for freedom of religion. Are you with me? We tolerate people of other religions so that we can win them over with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Not all roads lead to heaven, not at all, only one. But we want to preach the gospel to them. We don't want to force them. We should have tolerance on secondary issues. Like, we should not walk around in the church and fight about Calvinism and Arminianism. Those of you know what that is, like how salvation takes place. Some of you might say, no, only God does it. No, but I decided, whatever, it's a stupid argument, people. God is in control. I put up my hand. I don't know what happened there, but like it's all okay. We don't argue over those things. We don't split churches. We are tolerant of views, end time views. Are you premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial? You don't know what millennial. I say I'm panmillennial. It will all pan out in the end. It's all okay. Like, these are not things that we divide over. We are tolerant of secondary issues. And we are tolerant, thirdly, of other churches. There are churches in our town who are really trying their best, but we fall in different places theologically. I think some of them are wrong. I sincerely do. I think they're missing out on some of what God is calling them for, and they've compromised. I think that, but I should be tolerant and I should love them. There's churches who have women elders and women preaching, and I had a coffee with someone about that today. Some of them are genuinely doing that, and they think that that's the right thing to do. And I want to be tolerant and say we can still love each other, sometimes work together, I can pray for you. It's okay, we serve the same God. Do you hear me? I'm still joining this church because I think some churches have different views on baptism, thank you. And they are wrong, but that's okay. Some churches have a view of professionalism. They want to be incredibly professional and have everything sorted. And I don't agree with that. The early church did not. We've got lights now, but it's just so you can see me. That's the only problem. It's literally. But some churches are so professional. It sounds like you're listening to a CD, but I'm tolerant of them because some of them are genuinely trying their best. You with me? We don't walk around saying, Josh Jen is the way to the Father. No, no, no. Jesus is the way to the Father. Josh Jen is just a name. We can throw it out tomorrow. We don't care for the name. We just want to do it the Bible way. But then there are things to which we should be intolerant. I'm going to mention three things here as well. According to this scripture, the first thing that is highlighted here is we should be intolerant of false teachers and false leaders like Jezebel. She brought compromise into the church. And so any leader that lowers the standards of God, we should be intolerant of them. That says, I know God said this, but you haven't read it in context. Let's just lower the bar a little bit. Those are leaders we should avoid. And as Christians, that's difficult because we say, should we not love everyone? Yeah, you should love everyone but those who the Bible calls wolves in sheep's clothing. We should stay away. We should run, realizing that they can make us compromise our own faith. And some of you might say, but Leonard, I listen to you each week. Well, that's great. Or you listen to Josh Chen or 412 Resources. That's great. We test everything by the Bible. But I want to ask you, what's happening on your YouTube? What's happening on your TikTok? What's happening on your algorithms? Who are you listening to? Some of them you should stop listening to. You shouldn't be tolerant of them and say, well, at least they're Christian. And I like their preaching. And they're quite buff. So it's nice to, you know, that those things don't matter. No, don't tolerate a wolf in sheep's clothing. Be careful who you listen to and which leaders you allow into your life. If they lower the standards of God, don't. Don't go close. Secondly, we should be intolerant of friends who promote wrong tolerance. And this is a difficult one for some of us. Because we would think, when I got saved, I remember God was gracious. He put me in a new school. I made new friends, and I still had a heart for my old friends. I wanted to reach out to them. That was really difficult for me, but I knew in my heart that I needed to cut relationships with some of those friends. And I want to say this, and I feel this strongly, even after a couple of coffees this week, I think there are some of us that have friends who lower the standards of God in our lives. We have friends who call themselves Christians, but they don't live like Christians. We have friends that say, come on, man, kom hier, dop saam met my, it's fine. And you know where that leads, and they know where that leads, but they entice you into sin. They do what Jezebel did. They lower the standards of God. They let you do the same. They let you tolerate sin in your life. And this is a difficult thing. I want to say with your friends, if they do not know Jesus, they are where you reach out to, not where you fellowship with. I wrote this down. It's the same way that a ship belongs in the water, but water does not belong in a ship. It's the same concept. You belong in the world, but the world does not belong in you. Fellowship and where we open our lives completely should be with the people sitting around you. Are they perfect? No. Do all of them like the same sports as you? No. Do all of them serve the same Jesus? Yes. And that's why we live in community. That's why we get together in our homes during the week, because we want to have fellowship and open, unfiltered, be with each other and help each other. But you can't be that with your friends if they don't serve the Lord. I'm going to say, especially if they don't serve the Lord and they say they serve the Lord. Run. Get away. Reach out to, but then get away. Are you hearing me? This is tough. I know this is tough. And it's one thing for us to say, yes, intellectually I understand. It's a different thing of the heart. Man, but I love this person and Jesus loves this person. Yes, so preach the gospel to them, but don't allow them to let you tolerate sin. Final thing. We should not tolerate the normalization of sin in our lives, because that's exactly what Jezebel did as well. She said, I know it's bad, but it's not that bad. And I want to say, we as Christians are to be those who take a stand and don't just nod approvingly when sin happens around us. If it's a sinner and they know they're sinning, 100%. But we can't smile when there is like abortion happening around us and just pretend that it's okay. No, we are to speak up and say we don't tolerate it. We don't want it. We don't like it. When last have we opened up our mouths about sin and said, no, that is wrong? Are you willing to open up your mouth and say, no, that is wrong? Or have we become so comfortable being our own like private Christian that we don't speak? No, we ought to speak. We can't normalize sin. We can't normalize drinking. When your friends drink around you and you say, well, I'm not going to drink with them. I won't get drunk. I'll have one beer. No, you are partaking in their sin if you are there with them and they get drunk and you just laugh along at the same jokes. You are partaking in the sin. Or they use drugs or whatever it may be, or they sleep around and you sort of shrug it off and go on with your life. No, you are complicit in that sin. Do you know in South Africa, if you see certain crimes being committed and you don't report those crimes, you are complicit and you can go to jail. Jesus' standard is the same. If you allow people who call themselves Christians and do things and you just sit idly by, you are complicit. Are you with me? No, you're not with me. I'm even struggling, am I with me? Because this is like difficult. We don't want to be complicit. No, we are intolerant of those things. When we're there to love, reach out 100%. But if we're just allowing, no. Let's move on. Read the last part, because this is beautiful. Jesus is then going to, in the final part from verse 24, he's going to basically say, if you were to become more intolerant and draw the lines in the right place, there's also a promise. He always ends with hope. He doesn't leave us with the heavy. He says, no, when you do this, man, you are going to reach the nation. So he's saying this. 24. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Jesus is saying, man, I'm going to use you in the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. Listen, I'm going to get back to this. As when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star, that's the brightest star in the darkest time. You as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is amazing. Jesus is saying, if you were to repent today of being too tolerant, if you were to stand up for my truth, if you were to speak up when you see things, if you were to make sure that you cut off with some friends and make the right friends, as difficult as that might be, I'm going to use you in the nations. And the illustration he uses is like an earthen pot that gets broken on the floor. What the kings of those times did that we don't understand is when they declared war on a different nation, they would take that nation's name and they would write it on a pot, an earthen pot. And they would call the troops together, then they would take the pot and they would throw it to the ground and they would say, now we declare war on this nation and we will break them like this pot is broken. Jesus is saying, if you were to stand up and hold to my standards, we will declare war against the enemy. We will extend the kingdom of God. We will be those like a light shining into different nations. We will reach this world for Jesus if we ourselves are pure and spotless and we do not tolerate things that we should not tolerate. So as difficult as this is a promise that we are to keep. And I want to ask us today to take this seriously. To look at our own lives and to say, am I doing this? Because you know, every time Jesus speaks here, he speaks to the church, but he always lands it with the individual. He speaks to the church, he rebukes the church, but his final sentence is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is the Spirit saying to you this morning? What is the Spirit convicting you of an area of compromise or of tolerance that you've been okay with? Or maybe is the Spirit convicting you this morning that you are not intolerant enough, you don't speak enough, you're not reaching out, you're not living the calling that God has on your life. You're like a Christian and you love Him and you read your Bible and you pray, but you feel convicted this morning. Lord, I want to break that pot. I want to go against the enemy. I want to reach the nations for you and my friends and my colleagues and my family. I want to reach them for you. What is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you this morning in your heart? Yes, this is a corporate message, but what is he saying to you individually this morning? What is he speaking into your heart? And will you listen? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the churches and says to you. Can we stand? Can the worship team come forward? Just bring your heart before the Lord for a moment.